This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. Today we're going to be talking about one of our universities. It's not just any kind of university, not like a Georgetown or not like a Johns Hopkins or anything like that. It's National Defense University, and they've got a special program that's going on called iCollege. And I have in here some of the faculty, staff, and dean, and presidents, and everybody else, all the senior people of iCollege in the studio with me today to talk about what's going on at National Defense University and what is iCollege all about, what are they teaching, and then who are they teaching it for. I have with me on the first segment Dr. Robert Childs. Dr. Childs, how you doing?
I'm doing real well today, Derek. Hey,
you know, tell us a little bit of back. Well, one, give us, you know, your official title, and then also give us a little background about iCollege and everything else that's going on at NDU with your program.
Okay, I'm the chancellor of the Information College at National Defense University. And our purpose is to educate senior leaders within the federal agency, DOD, as well as all the different federal agencies, in the use of information and information technology. We're into communication, collaboration, and also we have a chief financial officer academy, which ties very closely with our chief information officer program, because the CFO and the CIO, it's really important that these two key people in any agency work together.
Okay, okay. With all of that, I mean, you know, we had a good conversation because you gave me an opportunity to sit down with you at the college this week. With all of that and looking at iCollege, what was the whole dynamic? Because things have changed since the time periods of computers, when you probably even started at NDU. I know you were former Air Force. Computers have changed. The threats have changed. What are you looking at now versus what you were looking at in the past?
Well, when the school began, the focus was really on the use of computing. And now I think the focus is more on the use of information.
And when you say the use of computing, like kind of like people just like standard computing skills.
Using computers. Yeah, in fact, you go back to the 80s, and at that time, computers were being brought in, and we still had secretaries. Everybody had a secretary.
Sure,
we had to type things. We had Xerox copies of things. We had a number of things that we did that we thought computers would replace. And now computers are central to everything that we do. In fact, they're even becoming more intelligent. We're now into the area of predictive analysis. You talk about business intelligence. Well, within the federal government, with the downsizing, with the budgetary constraints, I think technology can improve effectiveness as well as efficiency. And our role is to find those technologies and find those techniques and help government agencies improve their processes and use the technologies to become more effective and more efficient.
You know, can you break down the schools for us? I mean, the various components of you know, the iCollege and what are they focusing on? I know we're going to be talking.
You're going to be talking to different people today.
But give us an overview.
Okay. As an overview, Dr. Robinson is going to be talking about virtual worlds and about the creativity in the Innovation Center. And this is where we bring in new technologies, and she'll talk about that. Dr. Saunders is an expert in the area of SCADA. In fact, most people don't even know what the word
and
means.
Tell us what it is, so you know, people who don't know.
SCADA has to do with supervisory control. Computers control everything, okay. Electronic grids, water, everything.
Right.
And these things are not secure, and a lot of these are very old. And John will get into that. He's actually an international expert in this area.
And I have to tell you, people showed me some scary stuff, so we'll get into that.
Very much so. Professor Duvall will be talking about his department, which deals with information operations, information security, and cyber. And of course, for years, we've been doing the security side, but cyber expands into the areas of governance, law, strategy, tools. And he'll be, and you've seen the labs, and he'll be talking about those things. And Catrice will be talking about the CFO Academy and the value of that institution being brought in with the Chief Information Officer programs
that we have. And that program by itself is unique in terms of, you look at maybe other schools who are teaching kind of maybe information management or IT or things like that, adding that Chief Financial Officer component in there, that's a unique piece.
It really is, and it goes all the way back to Tina Jonas when she was the DOD comptroller about 4 years ago, and she felt that she had, all the services had great budget schools, but she didn't need budget people. She had those people. What she needed were people that could be leaders and take a look at strategies and everything. Rather than just being number crunchers, they had to be part of the strategy. And historically, if you look, the chief information officer is one of the biggest users of the financial area.
Right.
So putting these people together in the classroom, hopefully they'll have some synergy learning from each other. And many of the leadership competencies anybody needs, they're very similar things. You need to understand acquisition. You need to understand technology. You need to understand process improvement. You need to understand culture and organizational change. And the CFO Academy tied in with the CIO programs really gives a great basis for classroom exchange.
With that, you know, when we talk about your audience, and you know, we had a good conversation about, you know, both the audience you're serving, but then also looking at partnerships that you're developing. You're, you know, you're looking at private sector partnerships to keep you on top of current technologies. As we all know, you know, 1 year technology is this way, and the next year it's always changing. Talk to us about, you know, who the audience is who can attend, and then who are some of the key partnerships.
Okay, as far as the school goes, DOD employees can attend without any cost.
Okay. So all DOD can come at with no cost to anything.
With no cost, wow. That's correct. Federal agencies have to pay because we're not funded for them, and about 30% of our student body are from the federal agencies. We started bringing the private sector in early on. Actually, it goes back as far as 1992, and we have partnerships with all your companies, IBM, Microsoft, TIBCO, VMware. You name a major company today, and we probably have a relationship with them. And what we want to do is bring their best technologies in, the ones that can affect federal government the most, and put them in our labs and put them in our classes where the students can role play, use the software, use the hardware, so they can get a feel for what's out there. The average civil servant does not get a chance to see all the great things that are going on. So the more we can bring together in one place, we feel that this is a great contribution to the federal community. So we have partnerships with them. We also have, and the students can attend class. And you get somebody from IBM or Google in class, and they add a great deal to the dialogue.
So this is real unique where you, and I know we talked about this, where you are one of the few defense schools who can bring in maybe private sector employees. I know you bring in defense contractors, and they can attend.
Right.
But you're saying with the partnership sometimes, you may have somebody.
They come in, too. We can bring those folks in that way. And we have international students also. Hmm. In fact, we have a current 14-week program we just started a week and a half ago. And of the 20 students in that program, six are international students.
Okay.
So we're getting a very heavy influx of students from Asia, from the former Eastern Bloc countries.
And now, are we talking about international military, where we kind of have maybe an understanding with that country, maybe some alliances and things like that?
That's true.
Okay.
They all come in through the through the international programs that the government has.
Sure.
But obviously, a number of these countries see the importance of the use of information and mobility and wireless, and they recognize that rather than putting in a huge infrastructure in their country, if they use some of the new techniques and the new technologies available, literally, they can leapfrog the industrial age and become competitors, both militarily and economically.
is the role maybe of the colleges to maybe kind of build these alliances with both private sector, international, maybe international military countries, kind of diplomacy through education?
I would definitely say that's true. It goes back to the former Assistant Secretary for Networks and Information Integration, John Grimes. We received money and policy from that office and pushing the concept of soft power, helping other countries, coalition partners, friendly nations. Education is a great way to do that. It's relatively inexpensive, and it's deeply appreciated by the other countries.
You know, we only got a few seconds before this segment is over, but where do you see the kind of the future of technology as it relates to, you know, maybe within defense, within government? How do you see it kind of shaping the future?
Well, mobility is the key. Everybody wants mobility, and they want consistency. Let's take it from a consumer, from your television set to your computer to your iPad to your smartphone. Everybody wants consistency across there. They want the same look, the same feel. Wireless is obviously big. And then compounding the problem is security. If you're going to collaborate, security and privacy become big issues. So I think that's what we're going to be dealing with. On one hand, we want the collaboration. We want to be transparent and work together, yet you can't allow everything to be out there. So that and the privacy concern are going to be the big issues that are facing government and the policymakers here in the near-term future.
Dr. Robert Childs, he's the Chancellor of National Defense University's iCollege, and we're going to be talking to them in the near future. They gave me a great tour. I'm going to be back out there to maybe some of their conferences, so this won't be the last time you hear from him and his staff about what's going on. Sounds like the future is bright, would you say, Dr. Childs?
Thank you, Derek. We appreciate being here, and we appreciate your interest in sharing the good word.
We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What is the strategic vision for today's U.S. Air Force? How is the Air Force managing in an era of fiscal constraint? What is the Air Force doing to improve its operations and become more efficient and agile? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Aaron Connaughton, Undersecretary of the U.S. Air Force, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Caps fans, there's more than one big game on Sunday. Don't miss the Sunday matinee against the Boston Bruins on Sunday, February 5th at 12:30 p.m. The Caps beat the Bruins 5-3 last week and look to do it again on Sunday. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up. Always a great time. This is the hottest ticket in town. Tickets are very limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singleticks and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday here on Federal News Radio. Join me this week for my special guest, Brad Howe, principal with IntelliSource Financial Services. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit myvillagegreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life and Boron.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We are talking today to people from National Defense University, and I have a full studio right now, and so we've got a lot of things to talk about. We're talking to iCollege, kind of a unique college going on at National Defense University that's happening, and we're going to be talking to several of the staff who are running all these special programs. I'm going to have them introduce themselves and their titles and talk about where they're going. We'll talk about Paulette first, and give you full title, doctor and everything else.
Okay, I'm Dr. Paulette Robinson. I'm the Associate Dean for Teaching, Learning, and Technology. It's my job to bring in emerging technologies to assist faculty in doing a better job in their teaching and exposing our students. I'm in charge of the CI Center, which is our classroom workplace of the future, which is coming online now. Okay. It's really there to, the C is for creativity, collaboration, and communication, and it's multiplied by innovation and imagination. Mm-hmm. If we said classroom of the future, everybody would have an expectation that there's nothing new.
People are floating.
They'd all just sit around and wait for somebody to talk to them. And the other thing that I do is I'm the creator and leader for the Federal Consortium for Virtual Worlds. Okay. We have a conference every year, and last year we had about 400 on the campus and 3,500 watching the stream and interacting with us. It's real exciting.
We'll talk about it more.
Hello, my name is Adrienne Ferguson, and I'm an associate professor at the Chief Financial Officers Academy. I teach courses related to financial management, budgeting, and just lots of things that cover the world of financial management in our government today.
Outstanding. And you're running that unique school, Adrienne, that that we were talking about with Dr. Childs, where you're bringing in these chief financial officers to learn more about the technology and see how to implement it in their agencies.
Absolutely. Today's government, we're faced with some major challenges in our financial world. So we bring leaders together so that they can discuss, collaborate with each other. We have students from the Department of Defense, students from all other federal agencies, Veterans Affairs, agriculture. So we bring students together that typically may not get to talk and talk about their challenges. Oftentimes, the problems that we have in government are not unique, especially in the world of financial management. So we think we have an opportunity to bring folks together that ordinarily would not be together and to be in a learning environment that's conducive to creativity and using technology because the world is changing.
We'll talk about that a little bit more. I'm going to go next up the bat.
Well, good morning. My name is Dr. John Saunders. I am a professor specializing in cybersecurity, and I also do quite a bit of work in critical infrastructure protection, specifically what are called supervisory control and data acquisition systems. We have a series of laboratories at NDU that we have developed to help our students learn. Although they're senior leaders, we try to encourage them to learn a little bit about what's happening on the floor and therefore be able to properly respond when they're faced with crises such as cyber attacks.
you know, John was the one, for everybody to know, he's the one who scared me when I was out at iCollege. And he's the one who showed me some things that I think we all need to know about, whether it be people from the private sector or people in government in terms of securing infrastructure. But they are definitely doing some interesting things and teaching some things that I think is really on a platform of what people should be on in terms of securing whatever network that they are doing in terms of critical infrastructure or anything. We'll have next. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Derek. My name is Gil Duval, and I'm the chair of the Cyberspace Integration and Information Operations Department at the iCollege.
Outstanding. See, Gil is just he's just keeping it short. Just we have to pull Gil out. What are you focused in on at iCollege, Gil?
Well, basically what we look at, if when you talk about cyberspace, many people, when you hear the word cyber, you think of the security aspect. But what we try to do is show that the realm of cyberspace involves information that surrounds national security, economic systems, international and industry technologies, emergency response management, and most importantly, privacy and information rights for our citizens.
Okay, outstanding, outstanding. Let me start off with you, Paulette, since you're on number one to bat off. Talk to us about, you know, because you talked about a couple of different things I want to kind of go into in terms of the creativity, innovation, bringing new ideas to the table. You're talking about virtual worlds. With all of that, I mean, government sometimes has been behind a private sector in terms of creativity and using computers in a certain kind of way. You showed me your labs. I mean, what are you thinking about when you have your lab, your experimentation areas and everything else? What's the purpose of that? Government, at least.
For government, it's the purpose of trying to be innovative in how we approach the workplace, how we approach collaboration, interaction. Certainly with the Telework Act, we now have the possibility as a government to work from home and be more responsive to a workforce that may be all over, that is often all over the world. Well, meaningful is not a webinar. I mean, most people that take a webinar, they're doing two or three things because it's sure. just a broadcast. What's interesting about virtual world is you're immersed. You are using your body to move around in a space and interact in that space, right. which facilitates a visceral learning. In the CI Center, we really are going to experiment with new pedagogies or ways of teaching that can contribute not only to the government, but in education in general, where you can combine virtual worlds, telepresence, students in the classroom, and regular types of different kinds of interactions.
And, you know, break down so a person can get a visual of maybe what you're seeing in terms of, I mean, because what I'm thinking about Star Trek, I'm thinking about the holodeck, and I'm, you know, here in this virtual world. Are we talking about where you have an avatar or where people will actually be able to see a presence of you in a meeting, but you may be hundreds of miles or thousands of miles away?
Yes, IBM actually uses virtual worlds for more meetings in virtual world than they do in physical space because of their global teams.
Okay.
So you do have an avatar now. It doesn't look exactly like you are. It's okay. Getting better. And now with Kinect, the controller by Microsoft, you actually can now move your avatar based on body movements.
Right.
So it's becoming quite sophisticated and interesting for people to feel at home. They have productivity tools in it. You can share files. You can edit documents. Mm. You can do a whole variety of things for meetings, copy the meetings, share them with others that can come in the room. And so there's a variety of things you can do.
You can basically see a person almost or see
That's
an
right.
avatar kind of moving around,
right.
looking at files. So if you're goofing off, your avatar is goofing off. Then.
The avatar slump. The avatar slumps and okay. you go, oh, they're not doing
right,
anything.
Sure.
But it's more engaging. And I think
sure.
education, one of the critical pieces is for us to find each other together to engage and collaborate, interact wherever that can be, and we don't have to be restricted by geographies.
And you mentioned telework, and you mentioned a couple of initiatives that the government has very much so embraced. Are you seeing that the wave of the future as relates to the, I mean, especially with shrinking budgets, you know, there are government buildings that are closing, they're talking about another BRAC, they're talking about all these different dynamics. Are you seeing that this is the kind of the wave of the future that you guys are kind of pushing about these virtual meetings and other kind of creative spaces you can use?
Yeah, the one of the things we have missed as a government is a federal communications infrastructure.
Okay.
And part of that infrastructure could be us really connecting across agencies in a meaningful way in telework, which the Telework Act did not provide for, or ways for us to talk to other people outside of our own organization, let alone sufficient structures in our organization. So experimenting in this way can lead the way for the possibilities of government for the future for the workplace. I think that's where we're going to go, just because of our environment, commuting back and forth, and a global workforce. So I don't think we can attract government employees of the caliber we need unless we provide them with alternative ways to work together and schedules.
Adrian, you know, you're hearing this right here, and you're hearing about technology and maybe new ways, and you kind of run the chief financial officer side of that. When you're having your classes, I mean, what are you focused in on? More the strategic approach of how technology can be brought in and how to acquire technology, or where are you going with that?
Yes, Derek, we do focus on that. But one other thing, I think my colleagues are really technology focused, but we also look at our students to use that technology in their day-to-day operations. But we also talk about a lot of the softer skills that are needed for leaders. Oftentimes, many of our folks, they're stovepiped in budget areas. They've been accountants for a long
sure.
time. So we try to have tools for them to kind of see how to make that connection between accounting and budgeting.
And they don't ever leave the office.
I mean,
they don't see what's
Absolutely.
Going on in the agency. All they see is numbers, and you need this amount of equipment.
Exactly. And another thing is that we try to move them away from numbers and move to that next level of leadership, such as decision making, and how can they use. Again, we still try to invoke technology in what we do, because that is the way of the future. But we try to look at more, not just the basic spreadsheets and budget tables and financial statements, but what's done with that afterwards? How do you just analysis piece of that? And again, using technology in the classroom in order to help facilitate those different types of processes.
What have you heard? And we're going to come back and maybe touch this, but I want you to think about this. We'll take a quick break. But when we come back, what has the CFOs, you know, taken from this program that now may be changing the way that they are doing things in government? I want you to answer that question when we come back. We're talking to the people from iCollege, from the National Defense University, their Information Resources Management College, and they're breaking down the various programs they have, creative learning, CFO, cybersecurity, and everything else that they have going on at National Defense University. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll keep on talking about this. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Fed Access on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Experience GW basketball in one of DC's best college venues, the Colonials Club. As a member of the Colonials Club, you will enjoy a game day atmosphere that is unmatched in Washington area college basketball. Your philanthropic donation and loyal support for GW Athletics provides countless opportunities to our student athletes in pursuit of both their academic and athletic goals. Call 202-994-7325 to join the Colonials Club today and help raise high the buff and blue.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I join the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Hey man, what's up? Angie went to Walmart and got this cool Pioneer HD radio receiver, and now she's like, eh, I don't know.
Simple stuff. Check out the buyer's guide at hdradio.com.
Cool buyer's guide. Oh, here's the Pioneer DEH-44, under $120 at Walmart. Angie, hip and smart.
See, dude, HDRadio.com has the answers you need, and Walmart has the Pioneer with built-in HD radio technology you want. Now all you need to do is learn how to talk to girls.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDRadio.com. More radio, more value.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Navy Rear Admiral retired Elizabeth A. Height, Vice President, U.S. Public Sector Cybersecurity Practice, HP Enterprise Services, on the Cybersecurity Combating Threats to Our Software Environment panel, sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
We look at applications and software development from an architectural view today. At least we should, because quite frankly, it's so much easier to design security in than to find the thousands or tens of thousands of vulnerabilities that might exist in that software at a later date. Once deployed.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys are now training their sights on a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help governments secure mission-critical applications by designing security in from the beginning, finding the vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com/HP.
You download the free applications for your iPhone or iPad or Android smartphone, and then you go to their network, and then it knows all of the infrared codes for these things, and it's got the programming for 500 models. And then once you download the specific details for the model of the equipment that you have, this remote control will control everything.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Stopping blood flow from a wound can, of course, mean the difference between life and death. So a new sponge has been engineered to speed clotting. Even a neck wound that obviously can't take a tourniquet could be quickly sealed using the sponge, says Paula Hammond, a chemical engineer at MIT.
We can actually coat every pore of that sponge and therefore really load it with a large amount of thrombin.
The protein thrombin induces rapid blood clotting, and Hammond devised a way to spray it into the sponge in alternating thin layers with tannic acid, a natural substance found in teas that
interacts with the protein in a way that doesn't remove its activity and preserves it.
Hammond says the active ingredients remain stable in the sponge for at least a few months. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about a special program going on at National Defense University. It's called iCollege. It's the Information Resources and Management College. And I've got some of the good folks from the iCollege here in studio with me to kind of break down the programs. We've been discussing everything from creative learning to financial operations with technology to cyber security and everything else. Adrian, we were talking, and you're running the CFO program, but with all of that, what are CFOs taking from? I mean, you know, I'm thinking about this from a graduate school perspective, where I see other graduate schools with IT programs who don't really combine this component, where in the private sector or whatever the case is. This is kind of innovative right here. What are you seeing that these CFOs or people from this shop are taking back to their agencies?
I think one of the biggest impacts that we're making, Derek, is that oftentimes we have folks that come into the government as interns or co-op students, and they get lots of training, they have mentors, and then you have folks that move up to the ranks, and they're in GS-13s, 14s, and 15s, and they're kind of, they're very proficient at what they do, they know their jobs, they know the budget process or the financial accounting process, but I think it's that next level is where we try to make a difference. We also bring to them in our courses just the highest level of government to come over. They get a chance to speak to the Office of Management and Budget Controller, Mr. Danny Warfel. They get a chance to talk to leaders that are doing major things in different agencies. So oftentimes students don't get an opportunity to talk to senior leaders.
Right.
We also take them on the Hill. They get a chance to sit on the House floor. Again, another unique opportunity in one of our budgeting courses. We talk about lots of things. We have what we call a non-attribution policy in our courses, which means that students can talk freely.
Okay.
They can share their war stories.
Okay.
Because oftentimes someone else has had that same problem that they may be countering.
So an environment for problem solving.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This seems to be a very, very strong leadership program. Is this program geared, and even for all your programs, is it geared for your 13, 14, 15s? I mean, is that where all of your programs are geared for? Or are we talking about that maybe someone the lower level of a GS 9 through 12 can come in? I mean, where are we talking about?
Well, for the CFO Academy, it's actually 14s and 15s and high performing 13s is what we've added to the group. But again, our leadership, when the CFO Academy was opened in 2008, our leaders thought that there was a major need for those leaders in that particular group of leaders from the 13s, 14s, and 15s.
Sure.
There was a void that was there. And also during the time, there was this pending mass exodus of senior folks leaving the government. So there was an opportunity to make sure that that did not happen, that we were starting to equip our future leaders with the skills that they needed to move the nation forward in financial management.
Outstanding. John, I'm going to talk to you, the man who scared me, cybersecurity. in your lab, you know, you are teaching a lot about, you know, the cyber threat and you know, how people, hackers, breaking into, you know, critical infrastructure, whether it be a base. You showed me this interesting thing I want you to talk about.
Okay.
But what is, one, what is the threat? Two, what are you teaching about the threat? And three, what are you teaching about how to handle the threat?
Okay, what a great lead-in for an equation.
Okay.
the equation is risk equals threat times vulnerability times impact divided by countermeasures.
Okay.
What does that mean? Well, we have to consider the threat. And the threat can be anything from a teenager hacking on his computer at home to actually nation states, which have large armies working in the cybersecurity area now. So the threat is out there. There's no question about that. Vulnerabilities, what are we talking about here? Well, this is a flaw, usually in software, could be in hardware too, that somebody will exploit to get into your, either your particular notebook or onto your network somehow. It doesn't take much, actually, to implement one of these threats. So that's something people have to be very careful about. And then we have this idea of impact. You know, if my computer at home suffers, well, you know, it'll be somewhat painful for me. But if the computers that run critical infrastructure, our traffic lights, our water systems, our electrical grid, are impacted, then we can have very seriously repercussive effects. So we that's why we need to be concerned, I think, about the critical infrastructure.
And you showed me the reality of that example, and I want you to tell me about this video you showed me on YouTube about, you know, the person with the bridge.
Well, it's very interesting. There's a young man who lives in the Netherlands. His name is Max Cornelissi. And he's put some videos out. Actually, they're advertising videos to try to get people to work for their company.
Okay.
But of him turning off lights in buildings, of raising and lowering bridges, of going to train stations and changing track numbers, of going to highways and changing highway signs. And all this, unfortunately, is possible. You know, I personally believe that the people that operate these systems are doing the best they can to try to prevent something like this from actually happening. However, they have limited resources. And unlike, for example, the Department of Defense, we have a lot of people looking at cybersecurity. If you're a highway system or if you're a local water provider, you know, things are a little bit tougher for you to try to prevent something from this like this from happening.
Sure.
So, yeah, we utilize both videos like that, and we have, as you know, a pretty extensive laboratory that we've set up with actual what are called programmable logic controllers that actually run elevators and escalators and train systems, et cetera, and demonstrate to people how various weaknesses in these systems can be exploited.
And you showed me a system where I was even able to take an iPhone that you allowed me to use and open and close kind of a drawbridge. And you were kind of like, hey, that's just part of what happens.
Well, that's the way they work, right? And if you're knowledgeable, fortunately, not that many people are knowledgeable about the very low-level detail specifics here. If you are knowledgeable in this area, you can exploit these things like wireless that is set up in some organizations in some critical infrastructure.
And I think Paulette was laughing because, I mean, you just said it was an army out there of hackers. And then, you know, so we do have a concern. And I think that may be the dynamic of maybe where the government is going about the concern of the cyber threat. I mean, that's maybe why so many resources are now being dedicated to this. Because a lot of government agencies are just constantly being hacked, or, you know, private sector, I mean, grids, energy grids, and everything else are constantly trying to be penetrated.
Well, we're doing the best we can in the Department of Defense to educate both the leaders within the Army, Navy, Air Force, but also anybody who comes to our school. So that includes all the federal government and even some private sector companies. The Department of Homeland Security also has quite good programs in place, and their focus, of course, is maybe a little bit more on the private sector, where they're trying to set up collaboration with private sector entities, including utilities, to help them better secure their environments.
So as a student, if I was one of your students coming in, you know, and is yours geared for the 13, 14, 15 as well? Is yours geared for more senior people or?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we're in the same ballpark, okay. 13s, 14s, and 15s. A lot of the people that come to us don't have real current experience, for example, on the low level in programming and those kinds of things.
They're more, I'm a more kind of overarching strategic.
Yeah, they've been managers for a while. They're looking at the strategic picture. So we try to introduce them to some of the details, you know, a quick shot at how does this work and then how can we compromise it so they can be better leaders and be more aware of what can happen and therefore more intelligent in terms of pulling people within their cocoon to try to improve overall security.
When we come back, Gil, you're up to bat, so we're going to be talking about your area next, and we'll keep on talking about National Defense University. It's called iCollege. Where can people find it? They just go to NDU, where they find iCollege now?
www.ndu.edu/iCollege.
Got you. So you've got the website now. If you're a government worker or even a defense contractor, then you can take classes here. I don't think defense contractors can take them for free, but if you're a government worker working for DOD, Department of Defense, you can take them for free. But if you're a government working for another agency, you can get them at a pretty reasonable rate in comparison to the private sector of going to another school. We'll be right back after this break. We're talking about National Defense University's iCollege. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented.
Platform as a service is a critical layer in the cloud stack. Infrastructure as a service was only the first step towards the cloud. The platform enables agencies to develop, deploy, and use applications in more agile ways. It allows them to accelerate their time to value for mission applications and continue the savings journeys that they've already begun with their journey to infrastructure as a service in this difficult, constraining budget environment.
To hear the Federal IT Challenge in its entirety and learn more about the journey to cloud computing, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware. That's federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
What is the strategic vision for today's U.S. Air Force? How is the Air Force managing in an era of fiscal constraint? What is the Air Force doing to improve its operations and become more efficient and agile? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Aaron Connaughton, Undersecretary of the U.S. Air Force. Next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Caps fans, there's more than one big game on Sunday. Don't miss the Sunday matinee against the Boston Bruins on Sunday, February 5th at 12:30 p.m. The Caps beat the Bruins 5-3 last week and look to do it again on Sunday. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up. Always a great time. This is the hottest ticket in town. Tickets are very limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singleticks and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
The Philippine military says it's killed three of Southeast Asia's most wanted terrorist leaders, and they did it with the help of a U.S.-backed airstrike that supposedly significantly weakens al-Qaeda's network that had used the islands as a hideout and a training base. The strike, which took place at dawn on a remote island, killed 15 people, including Malaysian Zulkifli Benhir, also known as Marwan, a top leader of the Jemaah Islamiyah group. I'm J.J. Green.
Sir, we have multiple contacts bearing 050 at 30 miles.
When the Navy and Coast Guard needed a radar to perform critical missions, they chose the TRS-3D radar from EADS North America. Built to cut through clutter in a busy coastal environment, the TRS-3D detects multiple surface and air threats simultaneously, so our nation's defenders can respond quickly and keep us safe.
Sir, estimated intercept time is 2 minutes.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Register today for Affirm's February 14th luncheon for an in-depth look at how government policy is born at the General Services Administration. Federal News Radio's Francis Rose will discuss government's leading policy think tank, GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy, with the senior management team headed by Associate Administrator Kathleen Turco. This luncheon briefing will take place in Washington at the Sofitel Hotel. Register today for Affirm's Valentine's Day program at affirm.org.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, you need to go back to the previous segments and listen to what's going on, because we're talking about National Defense University. We're talking about iCollege. You can find the website at ndu.edu/iCollege. And that, and you can find this interesting college. It's an information resources management college. They have a lot of good programs going on about creative learning, use of creative technology, financial operations, how to look at financial operations and technology, how to look at cybersecurity, understand the threat if you're a leader within government. And now, Gil, you're going to talk about a couple different programs, including a new master's program that you have at iCollege as well.
Yes, thank you very much. First, I'll talk a little bit about my department, which I mentioned before is the Cyber Integration and Information Operations Department. And we do a couple of, I think, critical things that support the national strategy that we have for the U.S. First, on the information operations side, we work a lot with the use of information and strategic communications to support the national military strategy. So as you can imagine, as a DoD university, we have a vested interest in making sure our military leaders and senior civilian leaders understand the national military strategy and how information can be used to promote that strategy and also to defend that strategy when necessary. The other side that I work with in my department is in the cyber department, cyber domain. And the reason I call it the cyber integration aspect is that we look at cyber across a whole host of areas. So it's not just the security aspect, but as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we look at how information is used in several different critical areas for the government, and it helps support the whole structure of the United States. And as Dr. Childs mentioned earlier, a lot of our international partners and allies see the benefit of understanding cyber from that perspective.
So, and let me ask this, Gil. Is the U.S. seen as one of the leaders when it relates to understanding cyber?
Yes, I would say so, because one of the things that we've done, Dr. Childs mentioned a little bit earlier, is that we've hosted a series of international conferences. We've done about four of them so far, centered in the Middle East, Europe, and in the Far East, talking about the use of information, cyber, cloud computing, social media, and all these aspects in terms of how information can be used by nations to help support their programs and get information out to their citizens.
Okay.
Part of what we do in cyber is one of the things I see as critical is to understand cyberspace as a multidimensional model. Many times you talk about cyber, like I mentioned before, people think of a network topology. They see a network map that lays flat. But what we try to show is that understanding cyber requires multidimensional thinking. One of the things is, that I promote is a cyber maturity model that looks at how we take information and use it for strategic purposes, moving it up from a technical level, understanding it through the operational aspects and getting to a strategic level where critical thinking.
Almost like a decision-making intelligence.
Exactly. Yeah. So rather than follow a checklist of what to do, I, when I spoke to you the other day, I talked about the musical analogy. We want to try to get people to be able to be innovative in their thought, be able to react to the changing nature of what they see in terms of cyber and adjust their thinking accordingly.
Do you find that that's difficult, especially for, you know, maybe for people who've been in a government arena who's been used to that checklist?
Well, somewhat, but one of the things I want to say about all the faculty here at the university is that we do, I'm being a little bit
You can be biased.
But we do an excellent job of taking these concepts and presenting them to our students so that people can understand even the most difficult concepts through a series of analogies, personal experiences, to get people to understand our topics, whether it's financial, cyber, chief information officer aspects, in a way that they never thought about before.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, keep on.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to mention is that we have just a small representation of our academic programs here today, here in your studio, but we offer 9 areas of academic concentration, going anywhere from, you heard cyber, chief information officer competencies, chief financial officer competencies, but we also do enterprise architecture, very strong department in that regard. We do IT project management, so you wonder, why is my IT project failing?
Yeah.
We have a whole host of
looking at the PMBOK method and all other kind of
exactly
dynamics,
looking at how you make your IT project successful.
For your course, are you teaching almost on a semester basis? I mean, like almost like a regular school, or are you kind of teaching? Is it really consolidated? 8 weeks, or I mean, how if a person decided to come to one of these programs or take a class or so, how would that be structured out?
Well, we offer formats in 3 or 4 different ways. The most common one is something we call e-resident or electronic resident program. It's a 5-week program for a course. We spend 1 week online doing preparatory work. We spend 1 week in residence. That's where you come to the campus for a week for class in the kind of traditional setting. And then you spend 3 weeks, again, online in what we call distributed learning or DL setting to finish your final paper or project. So that takes 5 weeks to do. We have a very strong distributed learning environment at the iCollege. Paulette has been instrumental in developing that. And with the tight travel budgets that we have nowadays, we have a very strong program for students to take entire courses online in a DL format. These courses take about 12 weeks to complete. They're done asynchronous. You can do them on your own time at your own schedule. And it allows students who can't travel back to the Washington, D.C. area to take graduate level courses wherever they are in the world.
So be engaged.
We've had students over in Iraq taking courses, Afghanistan taking courses, deployed on ships taking courses. And of course, people that are located in the continental United States.
Good. Last question before we got to go, because we're running out of time. But with that, are you able to do the virtual learning with these classroom environments now, or are we headed in that direction, Paulette?
So we have, in one of our DL courses, we had a debate, and they were all distance learning students, and we prepped them and got them all ready, and and we recorded the debate in Second Life, which was really amazing. But it's where it's going. We're really concerned about secure environments, so that's the direction things are going. But DoD has a framework for virtual worlds and is creating an open source, open standards platform. So we really are going to have a way to integrate all these kinds of aspects. And that's what we're going to use in our classroom of the future. The CI Center is really going to help us think this through in terms of what is the best way to teach, what is appropriate, and how do we give a more immersive environment to our distance learning students rather than having a flatter environment of interaction with like a discussion space.
Outstanding. Had the faculty and staff of National Defense University's iCollege with me today. If you need to find out more about the program, it's www.ndu.edu/iCollege. We'll probably have each one of them coming back individually because there's so much to talk about. We can't talk about everything in one segment, but I hope people got an overview. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming on FedEx today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.